The Toronto Blue Jays are back home in Toronto at Rogers Center on trade deadline day. And Jose Barrios is now the newest member of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Jays striking a deal with the Minnesota Twins. And they gave up a lot to get him. But the two-time All-Star is now a member of the Jays as Toronto pushes towards the postseason. And to break it all down right off the bat, Jonesy, we bring into the conversation baseball editor at Sportsnet.ca, co-host of the At the Letters podcast, Ben Nicholson-Smith. Ben, thanks again for joining us this week. Second time, but understandably so because it's such a big day. And this is a big-time deal for the Jays. But as I said, quite a haul that they had to give up to get Barrios as well.
Man, what a deal. This is a real baseball trade that we're talking about here, where the Jays get a frontline pitcher and they send two top prospects back. I mean, it's honestly a bit of a surprise to me that they paid such a high price for Barrios, but he's a transformative pitcher for their rotation. And for now, for the postseason, if they make it, for 2022, he makes their rotation a lot better.
Ben, why are you surprised in that sense? I mean, you, like we always say, you got to give up something to get something. Did you think that they weren't ready to have him now? I mean, some guys you get at a time when you're ready to win. Is this not he's a great pitcher, but is this not the right time for him? It seems like it caught you, but it's a big deal and it's a good deal if you're looking at winning.
100%. They're a better team with him. And the reason it surprises me is because the cost is high. And so given where the Jays are with 51 wins and, you know, in that competition for a wild card berth, what I thought was we were going to see more of these rental type trades where the cost is a bit lower and you improve your team, but you don't necessarily improve it this dramatically. And what they've done is they have made their team a lot better. Now they've also helped themselves out for next year. And in doing so, they've paid a very high price. Austin Martin is someone who is considered a top prospect in baseball, very good bat-to-ball skills, likely a very high degree of certainty that he'll be a major league regular at some point, if not better than that. And then you're talking about Woods Richardson, a pitcher who struggled this year, but who, again, is considered a very good prospect. So get more, and in this case, they gave up a lot, and they got a lot.
Speaking with Ben Nicholson-Smith, baseball editor, Sportsnet.ca. Ben, you might have just answered my question 20 seconds ago. Did they give up too much? As good as Barrios is he worth the haul that the Jays gave up?
Well, a lot of that will be determined by where he can lead them. If they can make it to the playoffs this season, then it's almost impossible to hate on this deal because you have a playoff run in 2021, and then at that point you've also got 2022 to play with and you're feeling pretty good about it. If, on the other hand, Barrios is someone who pitches well for them but they don't make it to the playoffs, then you start looking at 2022 as a year where you kind of need to see him realize some of that potential. So, you know, in talking to people around the game so far, just in the last hour or so, some people are saying that's a really high price to pay. But look, this is a front office that at sometimes has been criticized for being too conservative. And what we've seen in 2021 is anything but that. When you think about adding George Springer and Marcus Semien and now Jose Barrios, this team is a lot better because of those moves.
Hey, Ben, I'm of the school that at some point the future morphs into the present. I mean, you know, it's nice to build for the future, but at some point, you've got to recognize that. Is this too early? I was kind of hinting at this earlier. Is it too early in the timetable? And then what does it say to the rest of the guys in the clubhouse? Because we talked to Buck about this a while back, Eric and I, that it says something to those guys in the clubhouse, too, when you make a deal of this magnitude, doesn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, it's kind of nice actually being here, and we'll get to get some in-person reaction today. You might hear the background noise from Rogers Center where I am right now. And those players are starting to arrive and some of them come across the field. We haven't spoken to them yet, but we'll have the chance to do that. And there's no question that this message to the entire organization, from the players to the ticket takers, is this is the time to win. The time to win is right now. There's no ambiguity about it. There's no hedging of bets. And it's not to say they're going all in and being reckless about it, because again, Barrios does have control, but they're saying this is a good team. And I really think, I mean, this team has underperformed. I think they're a very good baseball team, even without Berríos. I think they're a very good team. But the reality is, you know, the record doesn't reflect that just yet, because they've blown those losses and they've had the frustrating bullpen issues at times. So now they're going to have one of those runs to finish this year really strong. And clearly they believe that's possible with this group.
Speaking with Ben Nicholson-Smith, Ben, I was going to make note of the fact you're either standing on a subway platform or you're at Rogers Center. So it's great to hear the noise in the background.
Yes.
It's the sounds of summer finally coming, even though we're halfway through summer. But it's nice to hear it in the background. Tell me if I'm wrong for breaking it down this way as we continue to sort of look at this trade and why it makes sense for the Jays. And it's clear when you get, at least for now, we don't know what it'll be like 3 years from now, 5 years from now, but for now, you're getting the best player in the deal, a player that is obviously in the majors now, making an impact now, a two-time All-Star. Are you, if you're the Jays, willing to make this move? And maybe if you follow my very basic, very amateur line of thinking here, we're willing to give up Woods Richardson because, well, we might be replacing him with a better arm in Berríos. And you know what? Considering where we stand up the middle on this team and with our infield depth overall, not just on our current roster, but in terms of, you know, other prospects and whatnot, as good as Austin Martin is, we can afford to give him up in a sense. So from that standpoint, are you dealing from a position of strength in your depth to acquire exactly what you need right now?
You know, I think that's a fair way to frame it, right? Because they definitely do have a lot of young position players coming up. And even after trading Austin Martin, first rounder last year, of course, they still have Kevin Smith, who's having a great year at AAA. They've got Aurelvis Martinez, who's emerging in A-ball as just a huge prospect. Jordan Groshans, another top 100 prospect. And all those guys play up the middle. So that's to go along with Bo Bichette, of course, at the major league level. So you do have some strength there, and there's a reasonable case to be made from dealing from that strength. Of course, you got to pick the right player, and you've got to have a really good internal sense of what it is that you're giving up. Because if you think that Austin Martin is Alex Bregman in 2 years, you can't make this deal. Like, you absolutely can't. But it says to me that they don't think he's Alex Bregman. And they're not going to say that publicly. But, you know, so much of it comes down to those internal evaluations. And they've had the chance to know Simeon Woods Richardson now for 2 years and Austin Martin for one full year since drafting him.
Ben, is this also a shift in thinking to kind of shore up or try to help the bullpen? You get another arm that can go deep into the game and maybe try to take some of the strain off the bullpen that's had issues. Heck, we're just going to ride the horse and see if this guy can give us 6-7 innings before we have to get to the bullpen.
I think it's a good point. And, you know, so often we put it all on the bullpen. And, you know, the bullpen has let this team down. Well, if the starting rotation is going out there and giving you 6 or 7 innings, the bullpen is in a much better spot. And with guys like Berríos, Robbie Ray, and Ryu, Manoah about to come back, this rotation is starting to look pretty good for 2021. And that can take some of the toll off of the bullpen, which, of course, they augmented with Brad Hand. Wouldn't be surprised if they make another move in the next 3 hours here for the bullpen or even for a position player. They're definitely not done talking and making those calls. But I think it's a very good point to connect those things and say that, hey, you improved the rotation. That actually takes some of the toll off of the bullpen as well.
Speaking with Ben Nicholson-Smith, Ben, I don't know if I've ever asked, you know, well, you certainly or Shy or Buck or Pat this question, but let me use the basketball analogy and go back to the Raptors a couple of seasons ago and load management, Kawhi Leonard and everything else, and minutes restrictions that we always hear about with players, and whether that's coming from the training staff and the medical staff, or is that the coach's decision? Is it management? How much of the decision-making regarding whether you're keeping a starter deep into the game, whether it's the 6th inning, 7th inning, the 8th inning, going above the 100 pitches, 110 pitches, how much of that is solely on Charlie Montoyo, and how much is coming from either the training staff, the management, etc.? Is it solely his call, or are we talking about a hierarchy of decision makers and input coming in even before the first pitch is thrown?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of input, and he's the guy who makes the call, and of course, with that comes the criticism that goes with any managerial or coaching decision. But the front office definitely has a say Pete Walker, the pitching coach, definitely has a say. And you know, within that, you're taking into account training staff and of course what the player himself says. So, you know, at this point in the season, though, it's really getting interesting because with someone like Ryu, he likes his extra rest. With Berríos, they didn't acquire him to micromanage his workload and to, you know, plan 5 years in advance. I'm not saying they're going to grind him into the ground, but, you know, we might see one of those situations where they let him work through a lineup three times and where they let him work out of trouble a little bit, because he was brought here to be, if not an ace, a frontline co-ace with Ryu and with Robbie Ray. And they're going to need those guys, especially in a stretch of 25 games in 24 days. They're going to need those guys to take on a pretty big load.
Ben, last one for you here. You touched on it briefly a couple of minutes ago, but I'll just ask more directly. Do you anticipate or expect anything else here in the next few hours, or do you think this could be it for the Jays?
I do. I think we're going to see another trade. I'm not sure whether we see two more, but I think we see one more trade in the next couple of hours, and there are still needs. They could still add a reliever. They could still add, I'm told they're interested in Yan Gomes, so they're looking at catching. And also you've got a bat, you know, like an outfielder would be a possibility for this team. We know they had interest in Joey Gallo. So, you know, it's going to be super interesting, and I don't think we're done yet today, guys. So it should be a lot of fun to follow.